like 4 to 5 miles.
Let's call this meeting of the Marion County Board of Supervisors to order. Danny, roll call. I'll entertain a motion to approve this morning's agenda. It's a wild crowd this morning.
I'll make motion to approve today's agenda.
Second.
McCombs?
Aye.
Ramey?
Aye.
Johnner?
Aye.
Danny, any communications received?
None.
All right, very good. Public comments. This is the portion of the agenda to speak on items not on this morning's agenda, which is extensive. Are there any public comments? Seeing none, we'll move on. Is there a motion to approve this morning's consent agenda?
I move we approve today's consent agenda.
I'll second.
Ramey?
Aye.
Johnner?
Aye.
McCombs?
Aye.
Very good. On to business. Are there any updates for the new order, Mr. McCombs?
I just like to state it's really hard to conduct business when you can't even discuss anything without offending somebody or hurting somebody's feelings. I find that really frustrating. I know the open meetings laws are there for a reason, but I just feel like it hamstrings everybody and handicaps everybody to even to get anything done. I mean, that's just my feelings on it. You know, it's very frustrating. And it's not like people are trying to do something under the sly, because they're not. But I get it. It's just so frustrating.
Is everybody familiar with what Mr. McCombs is talking about? Okay.
I'm not.
There have been at least one, maybe more, communications sent out from somebody, don't know who, about the board talking outside of regular board meetings, potentially violating open meeting laws. Without any context, without any specifics, other than we know they're in the same room together. Okay? Could be Keisha and I talking about our kids at Iowa State because they both actually room together. But so those went out, and what that's done is we don't talk about anything anymore. We don't get together. We wait till this meeting, which means a lot of things just sit. There was something on KNIA as well about open meeting law, why they're important. Here's the issue. Open meeting laws do not apply to Congress, the Iowa legislature. They meet in bars. They make decisions behind closed doors. They make decisions in the rotunda with lobbyists. The only place that they're applicable to are county boards of supervisors and associated boards. Three-member boards are further hamstrung because a five-member board, two of us could get together and talk. And then that person could go to the other person, if there were two, and talk. And then that person could get together with the other one and talk. Three-member boards can. So, and then you've got the issue where boards are allowed to talk about ministerial topics or HR. I've talked with legal counsel since I've been on this board every year, probably two or three times a year, to make sure we're in compliance with those laws. And we are. There's nothing we've done that's outside of the open meeting law. And I'm totally fine with that, and I would, if anybody wanted to challenge me on that, I'd say, go ahead. I'll get legal counsel. I'll win. Because we've got the documentation to prove. You can talk ministerially as long as you don't make decisions. The decisions have to be made here in public. The debate on the decisions have to be made here in public. On HR matters, which we've had a lot of them, the board can meet at any time in private and talk about HR issues. And we've got that from our HR legal counsel. You don't disclose HR issues in a public meeting unless you want to get sued. So we've had all of those issues. We've had all of that documentation, and people have taken a couple of anonymous emails, extrapolated that, made a big deal out of stuff they don't really know anything about, because it's the kind of culture we live in. It's a gotcha culture. And that's what people want. We've changed things as a board. We're doing HSAs, we're doing those things. I think that's upset some people, even though we've only added to people's benefits. We've only given, I think, pretty good raises. We tried to do everything we could from an employee-based perspective and a taxpayer-based perspective to do things the right way. So that's a little context for Mr. McCombs' comments. But it's ticked off pretty much everybody on this board because it's a misunderstanding of the law. It's also a miscommunication of what's going on with this board. If we have a repair issue that falls below bidding thresholds, we've already authorized Steve to act on behalf of the board. Chris just has to get with Steve, give us an idea what the bids are, and he can act. We don't have to have a public discussion on fixing a roof. It's a repair issue. We don't have to have a public discussion on fixing the law enforcement center. If we build a new building, yes, we do. Those are the distinctions, and that's what Steve's talking about. It's frustrating now, because now you can't get the things done that need to get done in an expeditious way. Look at the water damage up on the fourth floor. And we're trying to move and get things done so we don't have a Warren County in Marion County. So that's the issue. Fair?
That's fair. I'd just like to go on record. Anybody that knows me, and I think everybody's known me for several years, I've never done anything underhanded, and nobody tells me how to vote. Nobody. I will make my decision based on what I think is best for Marion County. I just want to be upfront with everybody.
Oh yeah, because I'm corrupt and I run everything by fear and intimidation.
There's different personalities on the board. There's no doubt about it. It's human. It's human nature. And I kind of look beyond that. If I've had an issue with either two of these, I go to them and tell them I have an issue, but apparently that may be illegal. I don't know. You know, if I got a problem with somebody, I go to them. I don't air it out in public if I got a problem with somebody. I don't think that's fair to that person. If that's wrong, then I'm wrong. And maybe I need to change. I don't know. That's where I'm at with it.
I agree. It's very frustrating. We spoke to a mentor group last Thursday, and I said one of the hardest things about this job is I can't talk to the other two. I said, because, you know, I have to do it in public, which is fine. I mean, but again, there's no discussion, there's no, and I think so. It's all aired, so I guess, you know, we have to air the laundry out in public. We'll have to air the laundry in public.
Yeah, and if people want decisions to last and to drag on forever, that's what's going to happen.
I get why it is. It's just so frustrating to get anything done. And I guess I don't have a problem calling somebody an idiot in public if that's what they want.
I think you guys all know that we're all very much come see us if you have an issue. You know, our doors are open. Email us, contact us, anyway, you know. And so I speak on behalf of myself too. I mean, you know, but it's pretty bad when you have to walk in the office and Mark's in his office. I have to make sure the door is open and make sure my door is open and we're all, you know, everything's kosher because we got to make sure it doesn't look like we're speaking. So we do have offices. We are in here sometimes, and that's frustrating.
And it's really hard to get things done. I guess I'm just going to spill my guts here. Keisha and I just spoke. She had meetings tomorrow all day long, end of the night. Thursday, I got to go to a herding meeting at 9. Then I got to go to the other side of St. Charles at noon to a DCAT meeting. And that takes away from kind of really what I try to focus on is the county problems. You know, that takes away from that. And I understand that's all that is part of the county issues. I get that. But it's tough. It's really tough.
We've tried to make administrative issues or, quote, ministerial issues easy to deal with so we can move forward. Things that require board votes, things that require board discussion, you do that. And that's, in the business world, that's what you do. That's why businesses work efficiently. So we try to do those things. And I think it's frustrating everybody a little bit because now we have to pull all the way back. So even if we get a $2,000 bid to fix something, well, we better discuss that to make sure that we discuss it, you know, even though it's for a heater in somebody's office and their heat's out. Okay, that's insane. But if someone's going to walk by the window and say, oh, they're together, that's bad, then that's what you're going to get. Yeah.
Mark, I would just like to say I appreciate working directly for the board, that the board is available to have, you know, especially when you're working on a project or like the rezoning we're working on. It's great to have board members available when you have a question.
All I ask is somebody got a problem with me, come to me.
Yeah, I agree. Anonymous, anonymous, right? I love that.
The
cowardice is what it is. Go ahead.
Speaking of the update, the VA, that's another issue. We can't even get together somewhere and talk about the VA because we'd be together. You know, so I really don't know exactly where we're at on that. And I know Mark's been spearheading that. I have questions about terminology and like the demolition. What does demolition actually mean? We don't know what we've got to mitigate. And if we have to mitigate something, where does that fit into the overall plan of the development of the site?
Yeah.
And see, I can't go to these meetings because Mark's there and I can't be there. I mean, and I can't interject myself into the meeting because it's not, because there's two of us there. I'm so frustrating. I think, just like the demolition, you know, I don't know what that means. Somebody's going to have to tell me what the demo actually is. If we move on with this project, somebody's going to have to explain to me what demo is.
Mm-hmm.
And how does it relate to the development of the site? Because I know in past experiences, I've been around a lot, demoing things, it's not just tearing the building up. You've got infrastructure underneath the ground that's going to interfere probably with any development that takes place. So I don't know what all that means yet.
No, that's a fair point. I mean, since we're talking about it, and we'll talk about it when it's my turn, we'll talk about the VA at length. You have probably, and not probably, the largest, most complex deal Marion County has put together is the VA, or the potential VA acquisition, that project. We've never done anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
To have it so that they can't come to a meeting to at least be informed, so that when we do talk about the agreement and make decisions, they're informed, is ludicrous to me. Would never happen in the business world.
That's where I'm at. I'm not making any solid decision until I know what
everything
means.
Yeah, and so it just drags. So this thing is drug on for over a decade. We're within spitting distance of the finish line, and our most complex project, I can't give anybody an update on so that they can at least know where we're at. So that in my travels, and I travel a lot for my real job, if I get hit by a bus, they can't pick it up and run with it. That's stupid. That doesn't make any sense to me at all. I agree with you, 100%. So, anyway, there you go.
Okay, I'm done.
Keisha.
Actually, my meetings are, a lot of them are this week. So since the last update, I really don't have any other updates. I did have some people reach out to me, person reach out to me regarding the VA, and I think we're going to see more of that, and they're going to want to know what's going on, which is good, and I agree. So it's going to take, obviously, you know, we each have to have our people that we try to go network with or whatever. You can't do it amongst these, you know, so makes it a little difficult, but yes, so. I think we're going to see more and more of that as we get closer.
I'll turn it over to you, Mark.
I have one more thing.
Mr. Phillips.
I would like to hear an update from Chris on how our roofing projects are going.
Oh, sure. As you're all aware, we re-roofed the better part of the LEC. So the largest portion of that roof where we had most of the water damage over the last probably, what would you say, Sheriff, 7-8 years, every time it rains.
Basically,
since it was built,
it was built.
Yeah,
so,
thank you.
We've been putting pretty much Band-Aid fixes on that building. Every time it rains, we get called out. It rains frequently in Iowa, so it became one of those deals where Danny did a great job of going back through past records for me. I was able to look through over the last 5 years on the money spent just on patch jobs, and we were able to put a new roof on the building for about that same cost. So that roof is complete. Everything's nipped and tucked. We've had a lot of water since that roof was placed, and not a single leak that I'm aware of.
And we actually have a pretty good warranty on that, correct?
Yes, so we've got a 40-year material warranty and workmanship warranty on that roof. And that was also, I'd like to note, that roof came in under public bid, so it was not something we had to go to public bid with. I did try, as you're all aware, I shop around quite well for any expenditure the county does as far as facilities and maintenance goes. I contacted almost 11 different roofing contractors. I had one respond that was interested, and that happens to be a Marion County roofing contractor, so right out of Pleasantville.
And another on that, that's not uncommon, Chris.
No.
I know that for a fact. It's hard to get somebody to do anything.
So in that same roofing contractor, actually, we've been held up with wind to get a crane and shut down our east parking lot here at the courthouse. He will be taking care of the flats. Crane is scheduled to be here on Thursday. So hopefully, because likewise, this building, every time it rains, we have a water issue that maintenance has to go replace ceiling tiles, and the maintenance staff have to clean up water messes on all floors, and it needs to be fixed. No more Band-Aids.
I appreciate that. Very good.
Thanks,
Greg. Mm-hmm. Anything else on that? You want to talk about the building at all and some of the prospective plans we're doing?
Well,
because there's a whole bunch of rumors floating around about that too.
Well, I don't know what the rumors are, but I do know that sooner or later our elevator is going to take a crap. That's a given. So we need to look at options on replacing the elevator and also hopefully get the handicap access to the courthouse more reliable. You know, and we've looked at several options. I know there's issues with all the options. We're really kind of confined to maybe one or two maybe places that we can put it when it comes to having the secondary egress on the stairwell. Am I correct, Chris?
You are correct. Okay. Really, we're down to about one option. There's technically two. We could slap an elevator in the center of the rotunda, but we all know that's not going to happen. Our main issue, our original thought process was to look at removing west staircase and putting an elevator in the west staircase. Two major issues present themselves there. Number one, you need a secondary egress as soon as you go up to the second floor or a four-story building. The northwest stairwell, it's virtually impossible to bring that into code because of its age and confinement. But to do that, we would have to take out walls. The back office to like treasurer's department would have to disappear. Steve's office down here in conservation would have to disappear. A whole bunch of things would have to happen to make the northwest stairwell viable. That being said, we're talking massive amounts of money just to bring that up to a place where you could put a stairwell back in that is to code, modern day code standards.
And that's not even the elevator.
That's not even the elevator yet.
Right, and that's also like electrical and all that is an issue too.
Yes, so yeah, that was the second major hiccup is all of our utilities come in directly underneath the west entrance. So yes, everything can be moved, but when it comes down to looking at dollars and cents, we're far better off for the taxpayer to put the elevator in one of our proposed locations, which is near this south entrance. We'll know more. I'd like to make one public record known. A lot of the rumors have revolved around why I went out and talked to an architect and got an architect involved because of public bid thresholds. I would like to state that that architect did not even come close to public bid threshold, and that's why we were able to move forward. Because I keep on hearing why that didn't go to public bid, because architects cost so much money. Well, if you shop around and work with good people understand how things work, and they want to be a part of a good project like this in a historic building, and we came under public bid threshold for our architect.
Appreciate that. From a board standpoint, we're doing all of this so that we can actually get information, so that we can actually have a discussion on space. And how do we get this building so that it lasts for not another 5 years, but another 40? What do we do with the LEC and the things that we need to do to make sure that we don't have any more of the issues that we've had with that building and pumped a lot of money into that thing over the years? So Chris has been doing a great job gathering all this information up. It's more than the elevator. It's more than just a handicap access point. It's looking at the courthouse, looking at our existing structures and saying, what do we need to do to modernize these offices so that they can be utilized not just for 4 years, but for another 40? And how do we do that? And can we do it? And once we get all that information, we'll have a robust discussion on what we can afford, how we have to plan, and where we have to go from here.
That's a good part. That's a good part of the discussion, Mark. I agree. Because if we're looking to modernize this building and utilize every bit of space we have, that means the elevator has to go to the basement. I mean, there's just no getting around it.
Yeah.
I want the biggest bang for the county's buck.
But we also have to think about the historical site. We can't, because we've talked about outside, but you can't do that on the outside of the structure. So there's a lot of things, and nobody wants to give up their space, and I totally get that. I understand that that's kind of a, this is tough, you know. But that elevator currently where it's at, to get what is an ADA elevator type where you could get stretcher in or whatever, cannot go back where it was. So we also need to make sure that's clear too. So, yeah.
I think what we need to do when we get to that point, or we're going to pull the trigger on any design, I would like to have some type of a work session with everybody involved in the court out there and ask that. What are we going to do? I mean, this is going to take up space. How are we going to do that space that's being utilized now for other things? How are we going to make up that? What are we going to do? Mm-hmm. I mean, we have to have those discussions. I'm not going to pull a trigger on something without everybody being involved.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Very good. Thank you. All right. I guess the last item, Mr. McCombs brought it up, is a VA update. Let's see, where are we? We've had last week our most recent discussions with GSA on the status of what's called a memorandum of, it's an MOU, but they call it an MOA, between Marion County, Knoxville, the city of Knoxville, and SHPO, State Historic Preservation Office. Very good discussion with the GSA folks. I have, as a matter of fact, this morning received the latest draft, which I'll be looking at with our attorney to make sure that we're on course to bring a reasonably final agreement before the board. City Council is going to have to look at it. Other people are going to have to look at it so that we can have a discussion on some of these things, Steve, like demolition and all that. We have probably three sticking point issues. Number one is historic preservation. And the definition, when I say the definition of it, what does that entail? Who takes the obligation for the historic preservation / mitigation responsibilities? My argument has been to GSA that we need to get the agreement done and Marion County will take that on. In other words, if we start demoing the property and we run into a Tyrannosaurus rex bone, we'll make sure everybody's notified. In other words, we would do that anyway in any kind of construction process. There's other views of that from a GSA and from a SHPO standpoint. We're trying to come to an agreement on that. I don't want to have other groups telling us they'll take over historic mitigation, otherwise we lose control.
No, okay.
So that's one issue. The size of the mitigation area. So if you recall, originally we were talking about 250,000 square feet, give or take, of the buildings SHPO was proposing as a mitigation area. So that's a third of the DA. This is over a little over 700,000 square feet in total building space. our proposal has gone back to really two buildings, and I believe it's 27 and 28, but don't quote me on that. It's two buildings. SHPO has come back, and actually, we have bounced this back and forth. So we've gone from that much space down to two buildings. Why do you have to do that? Because in 2012, it was put on the National Historic Preservation Registry. It was put on after it was closed. It was not a historic site before when it was open. It was put on after it was closed to get tax credits. Because remember, they had some type of incubator business going on out there. So they put it on there to get these tax credits. You can't get it off.
I did not realize that it was in 2012.
Yes. It was not done before. So this has added an additional layer of complexity to this entire process. And what in working with Aaron and with the mayor, we have got it down to from 250, that square footage, you actually have to package that up, put an RFP together, and market that to third parties in order to meet that historic mitigation requirement. I want you to understand this.
For what period of time?
That's the question, Steve. So what I have asked, we've gone from 200, imagine, we'd have to market a third of the VA to an outside party, which basically blows up any project we had. Who's going to develop or put residential housing where a third of the buildings are still standing for an undefined period of time? Let's say no one's going to do it. We've got them down to a smaller footprint, which is a more manageable footprint, but now the issue is duration. I have proposed 60 days.
To put it out there.
Okay. And we've got a draft RFP coming from a consultant that's working with the city of Knoxville so that we can maybe get that signed off on by the various parties and say, okay, we put it out there for 60 days. And once that 60, if in 30 days we receive nothing, it's over. That mitigation requirement has been met.
But there's always a danger that somebody might meet that requirement and you'll get something you don't want.
Yep, absolutely. In any of this right now, because we have to meet some mitigation standard, there's no way around it. It's never going to be take it all, no mitigation, because somebody put it on that historic registry. Can't get around that. Not possible.
So when you say that, I mean, does that mean put it out to bid? Does that mean that it's going to have to be restored back to its original state, or does that, can it be usable? Is it for only like museum type thing? That's what I don't understand.
So SHPO's concern, whatever we agree on as the mitigated property, two buildings, one building, three buildings, they are concerned that the architecture stays the same. So whoever comes in, they put in a brewery, they put in a hotel, they put in whatever, they have to leave the essential nature of the building's look the way it is now.
External look.
Yes. That's the issue. Okay? They wanted to include building one, and I said building one had a massive window put in it in 1986. So tell me how that was historic to when it was built. If it wasn't, okay? So that's the issue with whoever comes in, they would have to do that. They'd have to meet that architectural requirement. Yeah, there's no way around that. So the smaller we can make the footprint and the more limited the duration, the better for us then once we meet that requirement. Now that becomes part of the whole property for our use.
So somebody could come in and buy those two buildings even prior to us taking over?
They have to meet? No.
Nope,
no,
it would be.
It has to be conveyed, and then whoever is going to take on the responsibility for mitigation, which would be us, if it's conveyed to us, that's when it happens. That's when the RFP goes out. That's when the clock starts.
Okay.
For that. And then we have to report back to GSA and SHPO on how that's going. There'll be a reporting requirement on that for a certain period of time. And we have an agreement on a period of time. So There is absolutely no way around the mitigation issue.
So, but if somebody doesn't come in and want those, you know, if it was, if you defined to those two buildings, they didn't want that, then when all said and done, then what happens?
It goes to us.
And we don't have to preserve any of it?
We're done. We're done. We met the mitigation requirement. We met the RFP requirement. Now it becomes part of the whole.
Wouldn't it have been easier to have this discussion a couple months ago?
Literally, that's going to, that will suffice. I mean, that will comply with SHPO. They'll be happy with that. They'll leave us alone. If we were to get the property.
SHPO will never leave us alone.
No.
It's a National Historic Site. So our relationship with SHPO is ongoing from now to eternity.
The only thing I
have no control over the property.
Right.
What we have to do is we'll have to file annual reports with SHPO on how are we doing this and how are we doing that and how are we doing that.
Whenever we get to the point that a decision has to be made, my only concern is we're asking Marion County residents to basically fund this project. Mm-hmm. That we have some type of viable plan from the city or us in tandem. That there's going to be some kind of a return on their investment in the future. And I understand it's not a 5-year or 3-year project. It's going to take probably 30, 40 years.
What would your return be, Steve? Because I can tell you right now, there will be no return from a tax perspective. Okay? In other words, the tax money we put into this, it's already got a negative valuation of $4 million. So you're in the hole already. Okay? We spend... Our financial models, we've modeled up to $15 million for acquisition and demo, mostly demo. Get it back to green space so somebody could develop. Marion County, that $15 million, that's sunk cost. We'll get something back from that. So when I hear return on investment, to me that means profit. I'll make something on my money. I'll make 10 cents on every dollar.
That's not what I mean.
So what do you mean?
I mean, I want... how eventually that the taxpayers get repaid for the money they have invested. No profit. And I understand it's not going to be a short-term thing.
Yeah. So the $15 million is square.
Yeah.
Yeah. Square. Yeah. So that's going to be a long period of time. Yeah, I know. And there are ways we can do it through TIF.
It could be probably way past my lifetime.
Yeah. The bigger issues.
But if it sits there like it is now, it's nothing.
No, it's less than nothing.
Yeah, it's less than
nothing. It's actually a drain.
I think that's the hardest part for me. The hardest part is do you let it sit there and just go brick by brick and fall down? And then you bring in uninvited and then we spend it through public health and mental health.
I don't want to have ownership of it if it's sitting there falling down brick by brick. I can tell you that.
You have to understand if once title is conveyed, we take on all of the associated liability that goes with the property because it's over Marion County's property.
That's what I mean. I don't want it sitting there. It has to be demoed if we take it has to be gone if we're going to take the liability for owning it.
What we need to understand is this, though. I want to make sure we're clear before we go much farther down the line since we're having a discussion on this. Okay? We're going to get to a place where we're going to have a face-to-face meeting. SHPO, GSA, us.
Is it a public meeting?
Yep.
Okay. Can I go?
You can actually go.
And say something?
You'll be persona non grata.
See, I never know.
But what we need to know, what I need to know now, just like we needed to know since we've gone through this process, the public aspect, the discussion aspect really hasn't changed much. We're still doing the same things we've done for the last 6 months, which is negotiate this agreement. Mm-hmm. We're still dealing with mitigation. We've been dealing with that for 6 months. We met with the governor's office. We got clarification on their position.
You met with the governor's office?
No, we didn't. Knoxville and me. Knoxville.
Right, but not us as a board.
Not you.
Just making clarity.
All right, good. Well, it's clear. So everybody has had those discussions on their view of the world, so to speak. I don't think we're that far apart. But again, there will be things from a mitigation standpoint we can't get back. I mean, you just have to do it.
I don't think anybody,
our view can't be, we went into this project knowing all those things. None of those things are different. As a matter of fact, they're less restrictive now than when we started. So progress has been made to our favor.
I would think any insane person would argue that something has to be done.
I would hope so.
Oh, well, I would hope so too.
But
I agree.
It's going to come down to, once that agreement is finalized, I will present it to this board and you will vote on the MOA. That's what it'll be. We have our financial models done. We, at least from an estimated standpoint, we know what the tax hit will be to Marion County residents based on the dollar amount that we have to expend.
Now,
again, it's all projected because we don't have the demolition estimates.
That's going to be a big
well, that's what I'm
thing in my mind.
They were proposing 8. There was no way it was going to be 8.
Yeah.
So, and I also want the people, to know, I mean, like what we talk about, the tax. I mean, there's other things going on in this community, too,
that's
issues.
A good point, because, I know they're talking about wanting to build a new middle school. How is that going to affect, so they start taxing for that, and then they get taxed for the VA. Will this be a vote to the public?
What do you mean?
For the VA.
For the demolition of the VA. Do we have to bring it to a vote?
No, we don't. Okay. It's subject to reverse referendum.
Okay.
I mean, we talked about this.
Yeah. I know. We're being public here.
Well, that's been public. I mean, we've talked about that. This is an emergency urban renewal project. So it's not, we can do this as a board.
But I don't know that everybody understands that, Mark.
Well, they may not, but we'll get to all that, Steve, in the agreements here. And that's what you have to decide as a supervisor. Am I comfortable with that notion? And I've wrestled with it myself. Do we take it to just public vote, countywide vote? Well, that'll extend this out because we can't get it on the ballot this year. It won't be till probably March or April it gets on the ballot. This ship is gone.
Yeah.
That ship sailed.
Yeah.
GSA will convey this title.
I know all that.
With or without us.
I know all that. I'm just trying to be upfront with everybody.
I think we've all tried to be that. We have the Knoxville School District doing their thing. I'm actually meeting with Cassie on Friday to talk about that bond issue and its overall tax impact, potential tax impact. We do have to think about those things. You're exactly right. Because if they pass something that's 20 to 26 million, this is 15 for Knoxville residents, that's significant. Mm-hmm. We cannot look at these things. Somebody told me and said, well, but that's a different authority. No, it's all the same taxpayer.
Well, that was my whole point.
I just said, you're taking it from the same pocket.
That's my whole point. Is the city talking to the school, and has everybody got their ducks in a row? What's trying to happen here?
The school district.
I know they're separate.
They're going to meet with me, and we're going to talk on Friday, and they're going to show me what they've got, and we're going to have a discussion on their projects, what we're thinking about, so that we know what the numbers are. We need to know that.
Mm-hmm.
I think they agree. So they've been very. I got an email this morning from Cassie saying, "Hey, how about Friday?" So.
Good. So hopefully next meeting we can have an update. That'll be good.
Hopefully we can have an update. Yeah, in public.
Well, thanks for taking the lead on this, because I think it's important for the county and for the city of Knoxville that something be done.
Well, yeah, I hope it. We have made, for everybody says that, it's like, I hear those comments all the time, or there's been no disclosure. People are afraid to talk about it. And we got more, and this isn't a knock against anybody, but I'm going to say it anyway. Even though the school referendum hasn't even been voted on, there's been more media to that than there has been to the VA. And that bothers me, because both are impactful. Both matter. And I've talked to the city multiple times about saying you've got to be more forthright. I'm in every meeting. This isn't the first update I've given on the VA. And they've held back. That ends. Because this is just as impactful to Marion County residents as that school, especially to Knoxville residents. So that has to change somehow. I don't know how to get that to change. We'll see. So, any other questions on that, guys? Those are good comments. Make your lists. Those things, like I said, once the agreement is final, I'm not going to give you a bunch of drafts. That would be silly. But once the agreement is to a position where it can be reviewed, and I don't have SHPO sending in new edits and GSA sending new edits or our lawyer sending in new edits, then you'll have something to look at, and then you'll have something to ask questions on.
Okay.
What does this mean? What is that? Those kinds of things. We'll get our attorney. He will sit here. You can ask him definitional questions as well. So you'll have all that information.
Well, I wanted to tell you that here because I can't talk to you any other time. So you can relay those questions when you're getting this MOA together.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Anything else?
No.
All right. With that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
McCombs?
Aye.
Rainey?
Aye.
Johnner?
Aye.
We are adjourned.